Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And this is a show where we can just sit, chat with our neighbors, hear what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in the community. And today I have the privilege of chatting with Kim Sertovan, the CEO for Youth Crisis Center. Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, Kim, kind of unpack what the Youth Crisis Center is for me.
So we are a youth-serving, family-serving organization. We've been around for 46 years now, and really just providing a variety of services that really works to try to strengthen our community, strengthen our family units, working with young adults. And so we offer six different programs to be able to accomplish that mission.
Now, are you just Jacksonville-based?
We are not. We serve five counties in Northeast Florida. So this includes Baker, Clay, Duval, Nassau, and Stone County area.
And now why would someone in the youth age group come to you? What do they need services for?
So we serve children as young as three and up, as far as with youth, up to 18. For areas that maybe with family conflict, maybe having some concerns with anxiety, we've seen an uptick with number of youth experiencing depression, suicidal thoughts. We've got running away, youth that might be impacted by domestic violence, human trafficking. So just really a variety, school-related concerns, you know, peer-related concerns or bullying. So we're really here just to offer a variety of services, therapeutic services or guidance, life skills, to really assist our youth with just becoming a self-sufficient individual in society.
Well, and this is free for kids as young as three just to come up and say, hey, I need help?
The majority of our services are free. We have one program, which is our outpatient behavioral health, that we do accept insurance. So we're a Medicaid provider. We accept some third-party insurances. We also have sliding scale. And outside of that, all of the other programs are at no cost to children and families.
Okay, and you said total you have six programs. What do they like kind of consist of?
So we have our longest standing program is called Residential Crisis Care, and this is on our south side of Jacksonville campus that offers opportunities for short-term respite care for children who are experiencing ungovernable behaviors or unmanageable behaviors, family conflict, school-related concerns, homelessness, running away. And so they come to our campus and receive residential services. So they spend the night with us. We have on-site education that's provided by Duval County Public Schools. So they would go to school on our campus during the day, during the school year. Life skills, counseling, recreational activities. And it really is trying to resolve the immediate crisis and then to make referrals for ongoing services as necessary. So we're reuniting them in their family environment, but just really trying to work primarily with the child on what that particular crisis is. Then we offer community-based counseling services for children for the same purposes, whether, you know, it's anger, depression, anxiety, you know, homelessness, school-related concerns is a big referral source. And so we provide those services when school is in session. We would come to the schools and provide counseling and case management. Or we can provide that on our campus on Southside. That is the program that we actually go out into the community in those five counties and provide those services. So it's not just on our campus in Jacksonville. And then we offer a transitional living program for homeless young adults called Touchstone Village. We have two campuses, a Clay County campus and a Duval County campus, where we're trying to really work with those young folks that have either been put out of their home, lost their home, maybe aged out of foster care or not ready to live independently. And we're trying to help them develop those skill sets necessary in order for them to be self-sufficient. So helping them finish school, if that's a goal of theirs, to get them employed and teaching them life skills. And then we offer a program called Stop Now and Plan, or known as SNAP. And this is a family group model where we're working with parents and children separately in groups to really help the young folks understand how to regulate their emotions. Sometimes these young folks, 6 to 11 years of age, they get angry very easily, and sometimes that turns into aggressive behaviors. And so we're just really trying to provide the tool sets necessary for them to be able to manage those behaviors so it doesn't end up in becoming more of a problem as they get older.
So you guys really cover all bases.
We do. We really are trying to ensure that we offer a continuum of care on our campus, out in the community. We actually now treat parents, caregivers, grandparents. So if they're having some concerns of their own, they can be our client as well. And so it's, you know, whether it's stress or anxiety or depression or, you know, something work-related and they want someone to talk with, their child doesn't have to be a client for us to be able to help them.
And Kim, how receptive are these kids, especially in school settings? Say the school notices a certain child is just out of control, misbehaving. When y'all come in and your counselors come and sit with them, are they receptive and even respectful, or do they just not want to have anything to do with y'all?
The majority of the young folks are receptive. You know, they might be a little apprehensive as to our position and what we're there for. But really, it's all about building that relationship as soon as possible with that young folks, young child. And so, you know, just really explaining we're here to help, you know, and sometimes we might go in with the mindset that they were referred because they have out of control behaviors, but the child is not really at that place of talking specifically about what's going on. And you really are having to sort of take the child in that environment that they're in at that moment and develop that relationship first before they're going to open up about what's really happening. Most often, if you have like a bullying episode, they're not necessarily going to come forward and say, well, this is exactly what's happening. So you do have to spend a little bit of time, you know, in whatever, getting to know that child or that teen and building that trust. You know, it really is a trusting relationship. And for them to be able to tell you how things are going and what's going on and have that relationship. So it's important to build that on the front end. And the majority of the young folks are receptive, and we find that they're benefiting from the services and remaining in school and staying in their family and improving their overall emotional well-being.
And does that mean that you guys, like a regular counseling appointment, see them on a regular basis?
We do. We schedule these appointments as much as possible. At times we'll get schedules from the school. And so if they're testing or having something particular for that day, we'll make concessions so that we can try to see them or provisions for another appointment. If they're coming to our office, it's on a scheduled basis. We do understand that crises occur. And so we try to be available should that child have a crisis at that time or that parent. And even if it's just a phone call for us to be able to be there for them in their time of need.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Kim, the CEO for Youth Crisis Center, and we're going over the 6 different programs that Youth Crisis Center has to offer. And one that I kind of want to dive into is the homeless young adults. Someone who might be listening to this, how can they reach out to that, and what does it really encompass as a whole, Kim?
So this program, Touchstone Village, and it's sort of an application process, if you will. So we're really trying to make sure that these young folks understand that our program is a housing program. It is a program. It's not just here's an apartment. And so this is how we expect the young adult and the staff to be involved, you know, to maximize the success of this young person. So we meet individually with the young adult. It could be their families with them. It could be a supportive role person that's with them to really hear what their story is. And then we provide the information about what we can offer. So, you know, we have therapy, we have life skills, we can help you get back in school, stay in school, whatever your goal is academically. How do you learn how to apply for a job and maintain that job once you have received it? And then we have the housing component. And we want to make sure that they understand how to, you know, what does it take for a person to be successful in being in their own environment, being in their own home. And many of these young folks have never experienced that. So we have to teach them. And so it's really trying to just understand, is this a fit? Is this really what you're looking for? And if not, that's okay. And we're going to help you and find a referral for you, you know, if it's a matter of an individual apartment or a friend or whatever that is. But the bottom line is we don't want you to be on the streets, and we want you to be safe, and we want to develop these trusting relationships with you and feel connected in our community. And those are things that we can offer. So we have an opportunity at our Duval campus to serve 19 young adults at any given time.
Wow.
And they have their own apartment. It comes fully furnished. It's 374 square feet. They receive mail there. They have their own address. They can have a car if they have a car, or we can assist them in trying to receive some transportation. We're on JTA bus line. So, you know, really getting around the town is rather simple from our property. And it really is a sense of family from what I'm understanding of the residents. They feel very connected on our campus. And so it's just really trying to help them reach the goals. Every one of them are going to develop their own individual goal plan. You know, what milestones are they wanting to reach so that what is their next step when they transition? So this program is for 18 to 21 year olds. They can stay there for the full 3 years. And then upon that time, you know, what are they going to do to be successful in the community, and what are their next steps?
It's the same premise
at our Clay County campus, except Clay County is a housing model where it's congregate living. So we have an opportunity for 4 young adults to live in the house with a house parent there, but it's the same program.
And Kim, you said this is oftentimes for people in the foster care system that aged out and never got adopted, and now they don't have anything.
Right. And that was the premise for Touchstone's evolution, and it sort of has, you know, transformed to being just really referral-based. Sometimes our young adults find us on the internet or just researching, just calling, looking for assistance or being referred. But there are times young folks are not feeling connected once they leave foster care. They don't know what next steps are, and it can be rather scary for them. And so this offers them another step down of being independent, but still providing that supportive care for them while they're gaining their independence.
It's like you guys are providing them with a true family.
We are definitely trying to do that, and we really want these young folks to be connected, and we provide monthly meetings, and we do monthly outings with them, and just really working very hard. We have a transition specialist that wears a lot of hats, and so, you know, we need to take them to the grocery store, help them learn how to budget, what are healthy foods. If they choose to ask us to accompany them to an appointment, then we can do that as well. So it's all a lot of the steps that these young folks may not have received when they were a child or a teen. And so now we want to make sure that they have acquired those. And so we give a screening, essentially, or an assessment to really know, what do they know? What life skills have they acquired so that we move forward to teach them things that they may not already know? And that can be around household management, money management, hygiene, meal preparation, just your basics, and then taking them step forward for them to gain those master of life skills.
Yeah, something that, I mean, I've personally learned from my parents, and I've been given that opportunity. Well, like you said, Kim, that's kind of encompassing the core of Touchstone Village. Now, your other program is SNAP, Stop Now and Plan, but that's not just for kids or students, but it's a whole family?
Yes, so we have SNAP, and then we have SNAP in school. So Stop Now and Plan, what I love about this is that you're working with the entire family. So you may have a 6-7-year-old child who is starting to become out of control, whether they're exposed to things in their environment or there's some chemical imbalances or things that are occurring that this young person is starting to not be able to manage their emotions. Well, that affects the entire family, even though it may be just the child that's behaving this way. And so what I love about this program is that you have a group that is very specific with a number of children where you're teaching them, instead of you flying off the handle when you don't hear something that you aren't liking or you want something and you can't get it at that moment, how do you best manage your emotions over that? What could you do differently so that your outcome is better? because we know those behaviors, should they be 15, 16 years old, could land them in jail and incarcerated if they're fighting with certain folks and committing different crimes. And so we're really trying to be more of a prevention program for juvenile justice factors. So while we're running the group with the kids, we're running a group with the parents, and we're teaching the parents how to adjust and adapt and work with their child as their child is learning to manage their behaviors. And then we also provide sibling care and meals. And so it really is a sense of family when these folks come in. It's a 13-week group, and I have seen where how the families start when they first come to us, and through that 13-week period, how much the family has grown. We do a celebration at the end of that time, what we call graduation. Mm-hmm. And it's really a very special time for these young folks because they've seen how much they have improved over this period, and the families are seeing how much their family unit has improved. And so I love this. And SNAP in schools is taking those same concepts that you would have in SNAP group, just without the family. And so what is important about SNAP in schools is you're working with an entire classroom. So you might have children that have a better understanding of how to cope with their emotions and those that may not. And you're having some education around how does everybody get along and the teachers involved in this group. So it's 13 weeks going into a classroom that the school has said is appropriate for us to spend this time. And you're teaching those same concepts now to an entire classroom. And so you're transforming an entire classroom environment on how to manage emotions. And if they're not having behavioral concerns at that time, it certainly is tools to help them for the future.
Wow. And there's so much that Youth Crisis Center does. And thank you, Kim, for kind of unraveling all of it. But now we're already dealing with students and kids and even families that are struggling. You throw COVID on top of that. How have your students been reacting and responding to what's going on today?
Well, we've had a huge increase in number of children experiencing anger, depression, and anxiety. Mm-hmm. Our crisis calls have increased. And so just for the last month, 44% of our children were experiencing symptoms of anger, depression, or anxiety, or parents.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. And then following that, 35% of our young folks were acting out behaviors, which was causing conflict in the home. We have seen an increase of clients and children included calling in that are experiencing suicidal thoughts. Mm. We have had an increase in eating disorders because things that were helping them in their structure and their situation has now been disrupted. And on top of that, now you have distant learning. And so it's really trying to educate, many of these children watch their parents, and depending on how their parents are coping can affect how the child is coping. And so we want to make sure that as we socially distance ourselves, we're not emotionally distancing ourselves. And what are some of the things that, you can do to try to make sure that your child stays connected to what they're familiar with, what their structure is? And really, COVID has presented ourselves with a sense of loss. Mm. Things that were have greatly changed. Things, for children that may have been involved in activities, sports, church services, certainly the school setting, things that were their connectivity has been changed. And so these kids go through all these different emotions, and so do the parents, of all these changes that have occurring. So now, as the state is reopening, we're sort of needing to undo some things, but also create what is life like moving forward. And so it's just really important, as far as with Youth Crisis Center, if there's any guidance or any conversation that we can have to try to help our community during this time of transition, I just encourage folks to call us. We're open 24 hours a day for our crisis line, and we can try to provide that guidance and suggestions as much as possible.
Kim, while you're on the topic of calling y'all, can you go ahead and give me the number and the website for people to reach out to Youth Crisis Center?
Absolutely. Our line is 904-725-6662. It's our main number, crisis hotline, and then our website is youthcrisiscenter.org. On our website, you will see information about each of our programs, and there's also information in there on how you can best connect to us. And so folks can complete some information online, and that information is sent over to our organization, and then someone will get back with them if they want to connect through our website. That way, again, they can certainly reach out to us. Our doors are open on our campus. They can certainly walk up and seek some services there as well.
Kim, now what's some things that we as a community and the students and the families can look forward to once COVID is over and we don't have to be as strict with social distancing?
I think folks are going to be looking for how do they reconnect with folks that they were connected to. And what does that look like in terms of face-to-face? And so, you know, just looking forward to being able to go back into some things that were positive situations for these children. I know my own children are looking forward to summer activities and sports and seeing friends. And so I just suggest that folks, you know, we watch a lot of negative things, unfortunately, at times. And so I think it's as much as possible to be able to shed light on the future and to start painting that, you know, things that the children had, some of those can return. And I know my own children will say, you know, I wish COVID wasn't here because I could be doing these things. And so I'm like, well, that's very true, but that will come. And it does provide an opportunity for them to look forward to those things. And, you know, again, as much as positive opportunities for us to share for our kids to be connected, our families to get to, you know, be connected, I think we're trying to figure out now as the community opens back up, you know, what activities will we have our children in while we're returning to work. And so working through those plans can bring a lot of anxiety on. And as you're going through that, it's okay to reach out and ask how, you know, what would be a plan that you can suggest? How can I work through this with my family? And certainly for those families that may be fearful of returning to what was normal or fearful of taking that next step to re-engage with activities, certainly talking through those emotions will help as well.
Well, and Kim, you casually mentioned your kids as a mom and obviously as a CEO for Youth Crisis Center. What's some advice you can give parents since the kids are watching so closely how they're coping?
I think it's best to limit it. You know, we see numbers on a screen, and when you see numbers of illness, numbers of death, they don't understand the impact of that statistically. So when you're looking at a true picture, statistically, they don't understand. Is it 10% of the population? And then yesterday I was reading that folks are now wanting to really have a better understanding of what recovery looks like, and they're trying to better define what does recovery mean. So I would really suggest limiting the amount of exposure that children have and trying to divert attention elsewhere. You know, if you're needing to be caught up on the news and how things are going in the community and what are next steps, I think that's an appropriate thing for a parent to do. But we have to also be mindful that our children are watching. Yeah. So I just would suggest they limit that.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. And again, give us the website and the phone number, how we can stay connected while this is all going on, but even after COVID.
Absolutely. So our phone number is 904-725-6662. And that number is available 24 hours a day. Our residential crisis care program is open 24 hours a day to begin serving our community for those young folks in need. So reach out to us in that capacity. Our website is youthcrisiscenter.org. And we'd love to hear from our community.
Okay, Kim, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on today's show.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.
Car stereos are the perfect gift. Hoffman's Car Stereo has served Clay and surrounding counties for years with name brand car stereos. Hoffman's can sell all makes and models. If they sell a radio, they'll install it for free. Hoffman's Car Stereo is locally owned and operated, so you deal direct with the owners. Hoffman's Car Stereo, for car stereo accessories and video. 1232 Blanding Boulevard, Orange Park South. Call 375-9018. 375-9018.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this. 10. There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text BICEP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BICEP to 321-321. That's BICEP to 321-321.
American Electrical Contracting over on St. Augustine Road is expanding, and they need electricians. They offer top wages along with a benefit plan second to none. Paid holidays, vacation, 401k with match, bonus plan for all employees. A third-year electrician will get about 6 weeks' pay they did not have to work for. That's right, 6 weeks. 3 weeks vacation, six paid holidays, 2 weeks pay for bonus. Who does that? American Electrical. That's who. Call 737-7770 or drop by their office on St. Augustine Road.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Greg Taylor. Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, absolutely. It's my pleasure. Being able to speak to you directly about this and kind of open up the lines of communication for anybody who can get involved or wants to hear more about it is, a dream come true.
Yeah, Greg, and before we kind of dive in on what makes you crazy, we'll get to that in a second. You're going crazy for a specific organization, and that organization is Chemo Noir. So this is something I've never heard of before. Kind of unravel who that is.
Sure. So Chemo Noir is spearheaded by a woman named Kat Casey. She's been in the local community. She's actually a brand marketer here in Jacksonville. And her passion project as a cancer survivor is Chemo Noir. And Chemo Noir specifically targets to help those in need who can't afford their cancer treatments here in the Jacksonville or local surrounding areas. So she specifically gets with people and communicates within families and individuals who, would have a very hard time surviving without getting their cancer treatments and wouldn't be able to afford their cancer treatments without the help of Chemo Noir.
And when you're giving people money, obviously that takes a lot of money coming in. So you need to be really creative with ways to raise this money. And Greg, that's where you come in. All right, please tell me what you're going to do in the next couple of days. Like, this is happening soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is pretty exciting. It's been pretty much a year of being worked on at this point. I am working directly with Kima Noir to bring to you guys what we're calling USA Cancer Cycle. And that is also the name of the website, usacancercycle.com. And we go live tomorrow, like the full launch where some of our sponsors and networks and things that we're working with are releasing our launch video. And we start really opening it up to the community. But on 2/20, on February 20th, I'm actually biking the United States specifically for donations to Kima Noir. I'm biking from Jacksonville, Florida, over to San Diego, California, up to like the Mount Rainier area in Washington, straight across to Maine, and then Maine home to Jacksonville. So it's 11,500 miles, and we're looking at completing the journey within 6 months.
Yeah, and you just said that like in one breath, like it's so casual, no big deal. All right, so literally you guys could have put on a gala, or you could have done something even still filled with exercise like a marathon. But no, Greg, you guys are going to ride your bicycle for 6 months. Why? Like, I get the end goal, but out of all reasons, why did you choose this?
Yeah, no, I know. So when you say it, like, I'm at the point where I can say it casually, but I understand hearing it from the outside. It's like, wait, what did he just say?
Yeah.
To make it even worse, believe it or not, I'm going solo. So it'll just be me out there, which is going to, yeah. So my dad will join me for about a week at one point of the country that he's wanted to see. And then, of course, I'll meet up with friends and family and things like that. But I have everything on my bike, 80 pounds packed down, everything from the tent to water to food and everything in between that you could imagine. So, it is a solo adventure. It's going to be, quite the experience for myself personally, and then to be able to do it for such an awesome cause as well. So it definitely adds to it, though, being out there by yourself, for sure.
So do you just really love riding your bicycle?
So believe it or not, I am a pretty high-level CrossFit athlete. Made it to like what we would call regionals now in CrossFit. So it's one of those upper echelons. And I actually didn't get into like this style of cycling until about 9 months ago. And I actually made the commitment to really put some effort into this thing and see if it was possible to pull off. So I've actually only been training for this style of cycling for about 8 to 9 months now, but I am a fitness freak, we'll say. So when I dive into something, I definitely go off the deep end on it. So the training has been definitely at its peak the last 9 months, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we were chatting off air, and I was like, oh, what'd you do this morning, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, I just got off my Peloton bike, which is great, because when I think of Peloton, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going over hills for 30 minutes. But I'm sure you're on it for much longer than that, going much harder. So what is training for something like this even look like?
Yeah, so I had no idea when I started, right? Like, I genuinely didn't even know how to begin. And I through the biking network, I got connected with a guy out in Seattle who I can't wait to meet. His name's Thomas. He's going to ride a couple days with me while I'm out there. And he has just completely befriended me. And, he's done this before to help people out who are doing some longer rides. I don't think anything like this, but still. And he set up a whole, like, outline of a training week for me where it looks like usually – 2 to 2.5 hours of hills and high intensity. And then at night there'll be like a, an endurance ride, something that you sit at like a very standard pace for whatever it may be, an hour and a half, 2 hours, just to make sure that you're building up that endurance as well as that high intensity, like tight 2 fiber to get up and over mountains, and everything that you could possibly need. So we've worked together to kind of put in a training plan where I'm hitting both hills 3 to 4 times a week, as well as 3 to 4 times a week also doing those long 70 to 80 mile rides, since that's going to be about the standard every day when I actually take off.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. So 6 months biking around the United States. So have you done the math and been like, okay, I need to bike this many miles or this many hours every day in order to get this done in 6 months? What's the logistics on this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like down to the mile. I've done it. I keep thinking like, dude, you've done this math wrong. It's going to take you 6 years.
Oh,
and
my,
then I'll go back and do it again. And I'm like, nope, it's right. Like, it's right. It's okay. but it's 11,500 miles. So the things you have to consider is there are going to be bike malfunctions, right? Like, I'm going to have to get things fixed. On something like this, you actually are going to have to replace the entire cassette and chain of your bike 2 to 3 times just
Whoa.
Because of the accumulated miles. Yeah, so there are things that have to be taken care of in certain spots just based on the distance that you've traveled. I'm sorry, kind of getting away from it, but the point is there will be mishaps, right? There will be rainy days. There will be rest days built in. There will be all of those things considered. So an easy way to think about it at the end of the day is if I did 85 miles every single day exactly perfectly, I would get back in 4.5 months to the day. It's not realistic. Like I said, there, my wife will come out and visit me in certain spots. I will take rest days. The bike will break. There will be rain days. All of those things considered, that's why the goal is, full-fledged from start to finish in exactly 6 months.
That's really smart of you to give yourself like a month and a half of wiggle room.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be doable without. Like I said, the body is going to break down from time to time. There's going to be 50-mile mountain days where I just can't make it anymore, and then there's going to be easy cruising days where maybe I'll make up a little bit of speed. So trying to plan for something like this to the exact mile, I think, would actually be a huge detriment. Like, you'd end up costing yourself a lot of planning trying to plan it to the individual mile.
Just giving yourself freedom. Like, to me, this sounds like work. It doesn't sound like a vacation or a fun little trip. Are you going to give yourself freedom in this to, oh, man, I've never been to this state before, and I'm biking through. I kind of want to stop by their lighthouse? Or are you going to be so mission-minded and focused?
I don't know, realistically, if you can do something like this and not try to provide yourself a little bit of freedom, right? So if you're looking at this like, okay, I'm going to maintain 17.2 miles an hour for that 7 hours, I'm going to get to the campground, go to bed, restart, and do the exact same thing, I don't think that I would be able to complete it. So, for instance, I've never seen the Pacific Northwest, right? And I can't wait to see it. So once I get into some of the more beautiful territories around Mount Rainier, I'm definitely going to take a day to myself, maybe do a hike, get to experience some of that culture and scene out there that I've never seen before, and then be okay with getting on and just attacking it the next day. So absolutely, some freedoms have to be allowed, or I just don't see there being a feasible way to really get it done in a good mindset at the end.
You're making it fun and not just a chore. Not that this is a chore to begin with, because you kind of set everything up. Well, Greg, this is incredible. I'm super excited. But one question I have is, the whole point of this is to raise money for cancer. So how are you raising money by riding your bicycle?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, getting into the personal stuff, I never want to draw it away from what this mission is for. I have a personal history with cancer in my family that means a lot to me, that, this is a moment for me to kind of let go of some situations in my past, of some relatives that I've lost and never really been able to get over those times. So it'll be good for me fundamentally and mentally, to experience this for them. But I don't want to take away that this entire ride is absolutely geared to be a massive fundraiser for Kima Noir. I want to repeat again that it's a nonprofit cancer charity. Every single dollar that comes in on this donation does not go to me. It doesn't go to fund my ride. I have done that all personally in the background myself. I've put away money for this. Every single dollar that gets donated goes directly to Kima Noir, and every single dollar that they get goes directly to cancer patients in the local Jacksonville area. So our website is, like I said, sorry to repeat, but it's usacancercycle.com. And on there, you can donate directly. And I don't want to sound, insincere in this. I truly believe that if every person that hears about this or sees the video gives a single dollar, that we would raise our goal. So I would love, to be serious in saying that every single dollar helps. You can donate by the day if it's something like where your business wants to donate a day, and we're doing shout outs by the ride. So say, for instance, you work for a company that sponsors an entire day. You send us that money, and then you can send a little blurb about why you're sponsoring that day, or who it's for in your family that had cancer, and who you want us to ride for that day. So a couple different ways to donate. It can be, by the dollar, or you can pick and donate by the day so that we can shout you out directly and thank you for your time and energy.
So say, like, this is serious. One of my really good friends, he was diagnosed with cancer 5 years ago. He was given 2 weeks to live, and last August, he celebrated his 5-year remission. Like, such a miracle story. But his birthday's in March. So I could say, hey, Greg, I want you to ride March 9th for my friend. And then I'd pay for that. How's it work like that money-wise?
Yeah, it is absolutely exactly as you described. First of all, I hope you can reach out personally to him and tell him congratulations. 5 years is huge.
Yes, yes.
Kat, who owns the charity, Kat Casey, for Kima Noir. I don't want to mess it up, but I think she's right there as well. I think she's 6 years remission from her last scare. So I definitely have that near and dear to my heart. Please tell him congratulations.
Totally.
Yeah, so for instance, if you wanted to buy that day and tell a little bit about his story, and you know what I mean, you can send that blurb over. You just go to the website and you select that day on an awesome calendar app that we have built into the website. You just go to, I'm sorry, I think you said March 9th?
Yeah, yeah.
So you just go to March 9th, you literally select to pay that day. You select like a little time bracket, and for that time, I get to shout you out one-on-one through all of our social medias and get to share a little bit of the community, get to share a little bit of the story about why this is so special and the amount of people that we're reaching and, you know, potentially reach some people that wouldn't have otherwise heard about it unless they get the opportunity and the chance to tell their story and to tell about their family or somebody in their business who they want to take the time to, you know, either remember or, like you just said right here, give a shout out to.
And it sounds like it's going to get to the point where you're celebrating people and riding for people throughout the country, not just Florida or even Jacksonville anymore.
Absolutely. We've been lucky enough to partner with some pretty big sponsor names, such as GoPro,
okay.
The Ready State, and Born Primitive is our lead apparel sponsor. We also, you know, have worked with local companies like Southern Swells, the brewery, as well as a local PT. His name is Peter Yu. It's Motion RX Athletics. So, you know, Trailer Bridge is a local logistics company that has come on huge for us and been a massive, massive local sponsor who's just offered, you know, anything and everything that we could imagine. So we've been lucky enough to partner with their brands who, once this thing goes live tomorrow and we get that video out everywhere, hopefully we do get a little bit of that national following. And that's on me as well to keep up on the social media side and update and hashtag and utilize every avenue possible to spread this thing to as many connections as we can possibly make.
Greg, how can we follow you along this journey and kind of be on your shoulder with you? Like, are you going to have an Instagram page, live feed? How can we be on this with you? Because this is something I'm invested in.
Yeah, absolutely. That is super cool to ask. And, you know, I want everybody to get involved as much as you can. You know, if that means a one-time $1 donation, then cool. But if that means that you're supporting me the whole time and reaching out with support, even better. You know what I mean? Like, any way that people can get involved. So there's a couple different ways. On the website, you can reach me directly. That email comes to my inbox. I look at it on my phone all day long. So the website, my Facebook personally is Greg Taylor. I'm not hard to find on there. I'll be posting constant updates, and I'm more than happily add you there. The Instagram name is USA Cancer Cycle. It's going to be fully and completely about this ride and every single update that I can bring you guys on stories and on full posts. And then TikTok, believe it or not, I have a decent following on there. If anybody has a TikTok, I know it's silly, but it's a lot of fun. My name on there is, it will be, I'm going to change it actually tonight to the same name just to make it uniform. So it's USA Cancer Cycle across all platforms.
Man, Greg, I'm super excited about this for you, but there's still like some things in my mind and I'm like, I just don't understand this. So one thing I'm sure, especially with marathon training and then after running triathlons, like your body needs to rest. And you said you'll have 80 pounds on your bicycle. So what, are you just going to rest in a tent in the woods every night?
Yeah. So kind of an open,
so casual.
Discussion there. So,
yeah.
So yes, right. There's going to be what's called free camping. Like there is going to be times where maybe my mileage didn't line up correctly. And yes, I will be like random, like grab a quick cat nap on a bench or something. Right. But the more than likely I'll be planned 2 to 3 days out ahead on either a campground where I can pay by the night just to throw up the tent and be safe. Or, you know, once I get into some of the more Western territory where it's a little bit more open, there will definitely be a ton of free camping. But, you know, that's why if anybody wants to, and I'm being serious, you know, if you know people along the route And there's a way that, you know, somebody wants to reach out and have a bed available or even even a couch for the night. You know, a bed and a couch is going to be super, super nice once in a while. So when I'm totally broken down and I absolutely have to grab a motel, you know, I'd say one out of every 15, 20 nights, I'll probably grab a cheap motel as well just to get a good night's sleep. But all the possibilities are there, and we're going to make sure to utilize all the safest ones to make sure that I am set up correctly for the next day.
And then, Greg, you mentioned it earlier that your wife is going to come out. Y'all are going to do like a little day together. So you're obviously you're married, but you're putting your life on hold in a sense for 6 months. How's that feel for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, overwhelming, super overwhelming, mostly just because of the emotional support that she's able to provide. Mm. So everyone is asked, you know, like, isn't that a showing of, like, weakness in your marriage? And I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's a showing of just how strong we are emotionally connected and the fact that she wants me to pursue this. And, you know, she immediately got behind it. And she thinks, you know, it is going to be special for me to kind of have you know, this moment to give something back that's bigger than myself. So it actually, I don't think, could show anything but strength in our relationship and how much she cares about me and wanting to do this. So I apologize. I forget your actual question. It took me in a tangent, but I'm just so proud of her for the way that she responded to me wanting to do this. And I'm just super excited. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm super excited already for that day that I get to come back to her. It's just going to make it all the more special.
Yeah. And you even mentioned your dad's going to come out. And is he going to ride alongside you or just kind of do some sightseeing with you?
Yeah, he's going to be in a truck. So
okay.
He doesn't mind the camping aspect. Yeah, he's all into, like, you know, I asked him, like, Dad, do you want to bring the RV for, like, your health or, like, you know, make sure that you're fine? He's like, no. It's more of a pain in the butt to bring that. So I'll definitely camp with you and everything. I just have no interest in cycling, but I do want to kind of see some of the sights. So, of course, I would never turn down that special moment between me and my father. I think that's going to be super cool for a couple weeks. He's actually going to be with me from Jacksonville to Austin. So it'll be a good couple weeks that I get to spend with my dad that, you know, that's another one of those relationship moments that I don't think I'd ever be able to recreate.
It's so special. You mentioned that you're really excited for Northwest, just kind of exploring that area since you've never been there before. But is there a state that you're going to have to cross and you're thinking, man, this is going to be hard? Or like a certain city or certain area where you're not really looking forward to that ride?
Yes. I'm going to two different answers. So the mountains kill. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. Like, it just crushes you, right? So there's going to be some hard physical days in the mountains, but I do like a challenge. I'm just one of those type of guys who's excited to get out there and just do it. But there's also like that mental drain of, no offense at all, I've never been there. It could be incredibly beautiful. But like the Midwest just seems like one long highway in the middle of a cornfield. You know what I mean? Like, so that could be terribly mentally draining. And I just need to, you know, focus on the day at hand, how much I'm getting done, and just get to the next spot. So who knows? I could come back and say it was my favorite part of the country because I've never really seen it. But just from a lot of the research we've done on the routing, it is a lot of just straight long roads through corn.
And Greg, like I mentioned off air, I was like, man, I'm so excited to talk to you, to the point where, like, I've told my boyfriend about this. I've been telling everybody in the office. I'm like, in the studio at this time, I'm going to be talking to Greg Taylor. This is kind of a big deal. And so it kind of sparked up a conversation in the cubicles and outside of the studio. But one person wants to know, how does this compare to the Tour de France? Tour de France. I don't even know how to say it.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, Tour de France. Definitely Tour de France, I think, is, you know, the pronunciation. But I wish I had more information. So I'm a performance athlete, right, with a background in CrossFit. And if you ask me a single breakdown, like mechanically or, you know, the kinesthetics of, like, how your body application works in a squat or something like that, like, we could talk for the next 45 minutes about a singular movement. But biking and cycling is a completely new sport to me. So I have picked up and ran with this for the last 9 months to train. And if you're asking me, honestly, to name a single cyclist currently on the pro circuit, I would be lying. I have no idea. So I wish that I had more information because I mean, those guys, you know, it's amazing. Like, by any standard, like, I'm a decent athlete, and I get crushed on the Peloton. Like, and I just want to meet these guys and be like, who are you? Like, how are you doing this? So I wish I knew more. I wish I knew more about the professional side of cycling, and I'm sure I'll make some connects and contacts through this. But I don't really have a great answer for you, actually. I don't know. The Tour de France is, you know, an incredibly explosive, elite event. These people are the best in the world at what they do. It's the same as us watching Alabama football the other night, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're the best at what they do in their sport. So I'm sure that there's no comparison to what I am on a bicycle. This is definitely more of a mental grind as much as it is a physical grind, whereas, you know, the Tour de France would be your explosive performance side of cycling.
Even though I didn't get the answer, I appreciate that explanation. I think I learned something.
Yeah, no, I tried for sure. I mean, yeah, I just wish I had more for you there, but I don't. I wish I did, and hopefully through this, I'll be able to answer it better on the way back.
No, yeah, we have 6 months. And Greg, you're doing so much, so I just want to know, what can your neighbors in your community do for you just during these next 6 months?
Yeah, I genuinely think that the virality potential of this entire endeavor is going to be person to person. I want people to get involved and care, you know, that we're doing this for certain, that I'm doing this for something bigger than myself. And I'm giving the entire cancer community, you know, a chance to rise above everything that happened in 2020 and really get behind something fun that I'm trying to bring to people to watch. So, you know, it's gonna be that word to word, mouth to mouth, neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, share on Facebook, and, you know, share with people that care and people that would also share with somebody else. That's how this thing is gonna get traction, and that's, you know, the angle that we would love to see be the outcome of it.
Well, Greg, tell us again how we can find out more, how we can donate, and then how we can ride alongside you and follow this journey.
Yeah, I'm going to go backwards first and come back. I use an app called Ride with GPS, and they've been super nice. They allowed us their platform to put on the website. So there's actually a tab up top on usacancercycle.com. Where you can say, where is, I think the tab says, where is Greg, or ride along with Greg. And it actually is a GPS location. So you can see, where in the country I am that day, and, you know, kind of follow along in general with me. If you can go to any of the other platforms, it's available on Facebook. The Instagram is usacancercycle.com. The TikTok name is going to be the same as well. And then the website itself, I'm so sorry to repeat it again, but it is usacancercycle.com. It takes you to all the donation platforms, as well as, you know, getting the word out there however you can, and helping us spread this thing.
Perfect. Greg, we are so excited, and thank you so much for just being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Absolutely. This has been a super blast for me. I've been looking forward to this all week, and it didn't disappoint at all. Thank you so much for giving me the time to kind of, you know, let others know what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.